the same day without being aware of each other's existence. And in Paris, while waiting for our papers, we had gone every evening for dinner to the same large and gloomy-looking restaurant in the neighborhood of the Seine. As for the restaurant, we frequented it, not assuredly because of the quality of the food. We might have dined better and more cheaply elsewhere, but there was an air of vanished splendor, of faded magnificence about the place, which in the capital of a warring nation appealed to both of us. Every evening the tables were laid with spotless linen and shining silver. The wine glasses caught the light from the tarnished chandeliers in little points of color. At the dinner hour, a half dozen ancient serving men silently took their places about the room. There was not a sound to be heard except the occasional far-off honk of a motor or the subdued clatter of dishes from the kitchens. The serving men, even the tables and the empty chairs, seemed to be listening, to be waiting for the guests who never came. Rarely were there more than a dozen diners out during the course of an evening. There was something mysterious in those elaborate preparations, and something rather fine about them as well. But one thought, not without a touch of sadness, of the old days, when there had been laughter and lights and music, sparkling wines and brilliant talk. And now those merrymakers had gone, many of them, long ago, to the wars. As it happened on this evening, Drew and I were sitting at adjoining tables. Our common citizenship was our introduction, and after 5 minutes of talk we learned of our common purpose in coming to France. I suppose that we must have eaten after making this latter discovery. I vaguely remember seeing our old waiter hobbling down a long vista of empty tables on his way to and from the kitchens. But if we thought of our food at all, it must have been in a purely mechanical way. Drew can talk. By Jove, how that man can talk! And he has a faculty of throwing the glamour of romance over the most commonplace adventures. Indeed, the difficulty which I am going to have in writing this narrative is largely due to this romantic influence of his. I might have succeeded in writing a plain tale, for I have kept my diary faithfully from day to day, and can set down our adventures, such as they are, pretty much as they occurred. But Drew has bewitched me. He does not realize it, but he is a weaver of spells, and I am so enmeshed in his moonshine that I doubt if I shall be able to write of our experiences as they must appear to those of our comrades in the Franco-American Corps, who remember them only through the medium of the revealing light of day. Not one of these men, I'm sure, would confess to so strange an immediate cause for joining the aviation service as that related to me by Drew as we sat over our coffee and cigarettes on the evening of our first meeting. He had come to France, he said, with the intention of joining the Légion Étrangère as an infantryman, but he changed his mind a few days after his arrival in Paris upon meeting Jackson of the American Aviation Squadron, who was on leave after a service of 6 months at the front. It was all because of the manner in which Jackson looked at a Turkish rug. He told him of his adventures in the most matter-of-fact way. No heroics, nothing of that sort. He had not a glimmer of imagination, he said, but he had a way of looking at the floor which was irresistible, which fascinated him with the sense of height. He saw towns, villages, networks of trenches, columns of toy troops moving up ribbons of road, all in the patterns of a Turkish rug. And the next day he was at the headquarters of the Franco-American Corps, Champs-Élysées, making application for membership. It is strange that we should both have come to France with so little of accurate knowledge of the Corps, of the possibilities for enlistment, and of the nature of the requirements for the service. Our knowledge of it up to the time of sailing had been confined to a few brief references in the press. It was perhaps necessary that its existence should not be officially recognized in America or its furtherance encouraged. But it seemed to us at the time that there must have been actual discouragement on the part of the government at Washington. However that may be, we wondered if others had followed clues so vague or a call so dimly heard. This led to a discussion of our individual aptitudes.